This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
It's now time for Connecting Caregivers with author, speaker, caregiver advocate, and talk show host, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for caregivers.
Caregivers around the world today, it's time to lift you up. It's time to celebrate. Good afternoon and welcome to Connecting Caregivers with me, Linda Burhans, the gal who cares for the caregivers with love, laughter, and lessons learned. On the board we have Ed. How you doing, Ed? Your voice is gone. Oh, yeah, there you go.
I've got to push that little button in.
Yeah. It is warm.
Still warm. Yeah. I'm ready for...
December?
Yeah. I was thinking November. I was going to settle for November, but December's fun. Yeah,
that wouldn't be bad. And with me, as always, is my best friend, my co-host, and my sidekick, not psychic, Lynn Thornley.
Good afternoon.
How are you today?
I'm doing well.
Well, I'm doing well, too. You know, we had a great support group today at Arden Courts, a live support group. A fabulous journaling.
I'm glad they were alive,
yes.
People.
Yeah, that's good. And then we had a journaling workshop yesterday via Zoom that was just fabulous. And one of the things we talked about on the journaling workshop yesterday was boundaries. Boundaries. Everybody's got something to say about that. But it was a really interesting conversation. So please feel free at any time to come to a live support group or a Zoom support group or the journaling workshop. And you can find all the information on lindaburhans.com under events. We'd love to have you there. I want to give a shout out to our newest listeners. We have Frank in Palmetto. We have Grace in Ohio. And we have Cynthia in St. Pete.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen.
And like I say, there's always plenty of room around the Connecting Caregivers table for more listeners, whether you listen to us when we're live or on YouTube or Facebook or the recordings or whatever. We're just here to help you find help and hope. If you need resources, if you have questions, you know you can always contact me through the website, lindaburhans.com. And I don't always have all the answers, but I have a lot of friends that have the answers.
There you go.
And we will find an answer for you. So we have a few people calling into the show today. We have Mirador Magazine and Nana's Books. And you know how I love all kinds of books, but these are special. So do we have anybody on the line yet, Ed? Hi, Dennis. How are you today?
I am healthy. I'm glad to be with you.
I'm glad that you're here today. So until the other people call in, let's chat a little bit about Nana's Books.
Absolutely.
So tell me how it's... First of all, give me a little bit of your background and how you got into this.
Well, my background is that I was working in higher education for 40 years, and my wife was a librarian, and she actually came down with early onset Alzheimer's. And from her diagnosis back in 2014, I decided that our time together was much more important than continuing to work. And so I became her 24/7 caregiver, trying to find ways of holding back the onslaught of Alzheimer's and supporting various researches that were going on with drug trials, engagement with activities, and traveling. Which Nancy loved to do. And so we did that for a number of years before it became too difficult for her to do, and I had to place her in one of your sponsors, I believe, Arden Courts.
Yeah, they're fabulous.
And she was there for 2 years before contracting COVID and passing away in 2021.
I'm sorry.
It wasn't COVID that took her down, but it was COVID's isolation that expedited her disease and her progression.
Yeah, you know, there was a whole movement with Mary Daniels.
Mary Daniels. I was connected to Mary. I was involved in trying to get the Essential Caregiver Act approved.
Yeah, okay. Because and, isolation kills too.
It was very, very important that caregivers have the opportunity to visit their loved ones, even in extreme medical issues.
Yeah. And you know what? One woman made a difference and made a change with that. It excites me so much, everything that she's done and all the people that she got on board and all the, you know, so this cannot happen again.
Exactly. We've got that covered in Florida, but the other states do not have such legislation yet.
Oh, they don't.
There are a couple that do, and I will advocate strongly for them getting similar legislation like we have in Florida. But where all this came about, Linda, is that just before Nancy died, mm-hmm. My sons and I got together and decided to create a foundation in her honor. And so even in her last weeks, I was able to talk to her about this foundation that we were creating.
Wow.
That was to send books on Alzheimer's, dementia, and other disabilities to Title I schools and their neighboring libraries. Nancy was very, very committed to being a lifelong librarian, and it brought a legacy that is most appropriate for her.
Yes.
And now it's bringing thousands of books to thousands of students and their neighboring communities. And we've now delivered nearly 6,000 books to over 3,000 students in five states.
It's so fabulous. You know, I'm a member of Kiwanis, and we do a lot with reading. So we go once a month to a preschool. And we go in the different classrooms, and I read to the children, and then each child gets a book. And they just light up, and reading is so important.
Yes, literacy is critical. And the sooner we can provide them the joy of reading, we are really making a difference.
Yeah.
And just this past year, my sons and I have both had all of us have had the opportunity to go into these schools and read some of the books we're donating to classes.
I love that.
And I and my sons were totally enamored by the response we got by these kids. And when we started talking about memory with these kids, they could relate already, because several of them, I would say somewhere between 10 and 30% of the kindergartners that we read to had experiences about their grandparents or family.
Yeah. And the kids don't judge it. The kids accept it, and the kids will work with it. They just need to know about it.
And the families need to know how to support those people who are having these disease challenges.
Yes. I can remember a while ago, one of my caregivers, her husband had Alzheimer's, and they had a lot of grandchildren. He always did tons of stuff with the grandchildren. And one day they came over to go fishing or whatever they did, and he just hollered at the one grandson for no reason. And his wife found the grandson behind one of the cottages crying. And he's like, why is grandpa being so mean to me? Because her children didn't want their grandchildren to know yet. And she said to him, your grandpa has a disease, and your parents are going to tell you all about it tonight. And she called the kids and said, done. You need to tell the kids. Well, the next time, the day after that little boy came, he ran and he hugged his grandpa. And he worked with it, and he didn't care. He understood.
Yeah, it's amazing how much these kids are already connected to kindness and compassion.
Yeah.
Two of the values that Nana's Books Foundation is a hallmark for, because we need to reduce the stigma that exists not only with dementia, but the stigma that exists and the misunderstanding that goes along with disabilities.
Yeah.
Because dementia is a disability.
Yeah.
And the reason we've added specifically disabilities to the Nana's Books Foundation is because my grandson, who's 5 years old, was born with cerebral palsy.
Aww.
And we want to make sure that other kids relate to him and other kids that are different.
Yeah. And they just need the education.
It's education, but it has to start early, or we have to keep introducing these topics so that our public is compassionate, is understanding, and can give support to the families and the people who have these disabilities.
Yeah. So tell me about some of the books specifically.
Well, we have several hundred books on our list that we've identified as potential books for Nana's Books Foundation. And we're vetting them carefully so that none of them may be in that controversial area of getting blacklisted.
Yeah, you don't want to get on the bad list.
because there are many good books out there that are really talking about the values we have. And just last week, I was in New York City at the American Foundation, the Alzheimer's Foundation of America,
mm-hmm.
where one of my favorite books of Dancing with Granddad is something they've produced. And I was sharing with them how this book has really started making a big difference and how our focuses really are matched in terms of trying to provide more education.
And I love that title, Dancing with Granddad. I just wrote that down. I just love that.
Yep.
It's like you say, kids have more compassion, and kids are not judgmental. You know, it's curious, my 19-year-old grandson at my house a lot, and when his friends come over, I tell them, take out your phone, subscribe to my YouTube channel, watch my blooper video, and then watch some of that other stuff, because you guys are going to be taking care of me one day. And they're all like, ha, 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 ha. Well, a couple weeks later, I saw one of his friends in the supermarket, and he says, I thought that was kind of like a joke with your YouTube channel, Grandma. But I looked at it, and I showed it to my grandpa, and I think it's going to help him with my grandma.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
That is beautiful, because, you know, we're taking these ideas and transforming them and transforming lives in doing so.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what Nana's Books is doing. It's bringing education and literacy to Title I communities. And there are over 50,000 Title I schools in the United States. And so one of my personal goals is to have at least one title school in each of the 50 states that they have Nana's Books in their classrooms, in their library, and among their students in public libraries.
Ask him.
What's a title school?
A Title I school is a federally funded school that represents a lower socioeconomic status. These are lower income communities where resources on purchasing books and reading resources in the home may not be available.
Yeah.
Oh.
And so not only do the homes suffer, some of the schools suffer too by not having the resources to put books in classrooms and libraries.
Yeah.
And of course, the communities itself with the public libraries where they're supported by tax dollars and donations. So we're very proud of being able to select books that are age appropriate, grade appropriate for the schools, and then making sure the collections of the library have specific titles. And we have about 20 books that we are currently matching up against public library directories and supplementing if they do not have those copies available.
That's wonderful. That's so exciting.
One of those books, of course, is The 36-Hour Day.
Yeah.
Which keeps coming up with different volumes, and we make sure that the latest edition is in that public library.
Yeah, yeah. There are so many fabulous books today that really can help and really make a difference. People need to be direct to them. And as far as getting those books for those kids, you know, I remember years ago, I gave a cooking class at a community for women unwed mothers. So they were all like single mothers with children. And we decided to do a reading thing one day, and the mothers didn't even know what kind of books to get for the kids.
Right.
And they had no money to get any books for the kids.
We have our list of books on our webpage, nanasbooks.org,
mm-hmm.
Where people can also provide donations. Because we're nonprofit,
right.
Dependent strictly on donations. And we're looking for volunteers as well, Linda. We would love to have people who are interested in this topic or just love to read, who can easily look at our list of books for vetting,
uh-huh.
pick up a book, review it, submit it to us. We would be most appreciative. We've got so many books that we still have to vet. That would be helpful.
Yeah.
We're also looking for new board members. Members truly committed to being caregivers to people with dementia or disabilities.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just thinking, one of my caregivers that comes to my support groups regularly, her husband passed away about a year ago, but she was a librarian, and she's kind of looking for some new purpose. So maybe we need to have a conversation.
Let's connect her with us.
Yeah.
Would love to be able to do that, because that's my purpose in life now. I'm now, as a retiree, I make sure that I am advocating for those who have this disability, helping the foundation. I actually facilitate a men's support group. I heard you talking about support groups and how important they are.
Yeah.
Well, men need other men to talk to.
Yes.
And so I meet twice a month, once in person in the Orlando area, and then once on Zoom. And I don't care where you are on Zoom.
Yeah.
I am welcoming anybody who needs, any men, I should say. Yeah. I'm very specific about that, because we want men in our group talking to each other.
Yeah, because women talk to each other anyway.
But I'll tell you, it's funny. So I've been doing support groups for, 15 years or whatever. And mostly women are in the support group, some men here and there. And one day one of the men in one of the support groups came to me and said, Linda, do you think we could have a support group just for men? Because we have some different issues and everything. And I said, yeah, we could do that. And he's like, do you think you can handle us? I said, I'll do my best. And so we called it Caregiver Clubhouse.
Great. Beautiful.
And it was fabulous. And they came and regularly, well, many years later now, all of their loved ones have passed, and two of the men, but three of them still go fishing together.
Ah, how wonderful.
Yeah.
Well, I welcome not only current male caregivers, but also widowers.
Yeah.
Because it's the widowers who wish to help other people.
Exactly. Exactly.
And provide the necessary support amongst us men.
Well, especially I think it's a little more difficult for a male caregiver in certain aspects. And then when their wife passes, they don't know what to do. And it happens to me all the time. And, you know, their wife will pass away, and I get a call like 3 weeks later, and they go, Linda, do you like Hummels? And I'm like, no, thank you.
Give them my number.
But then I try to get them involved in Kiwanis or some community activities or something, because they have to find something new.
Right, right. And I've actually attended a couple of Kiwanis meetings because I know their connection to literacy.
Yeah.
And whereas I'm a member of the Lions International group, the Kiwanians, it doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't matter. Rotary, Kiwanis, I don't care.
Absolutely. And the greater support we give our communities, the better our lives are going to be.
Right, and that's what we need to teach our children, too, because, you know, I tell all my grandkids, now the little ones are like 8 and 10, I tell them service work is not an option, it's a responsibility. You live in your community, and you should be part of your community, and they love it.
Yeah, yeah, and I know that a lot of kids in high school, or even elementary school, look for service learning opportunities and getting those volunteer hours to make them eligible for scholarships.
Yeah, yeah. So, Dennis, where can our listeners find you?
Well, we are on the web at nanasbooks.org.
Okay.
And we actually have an email that they can write to. It's called nanasbooks21
@gmail.com.
But the nanasbooks.org is there. We have a Facebook group as well. So social media is becoming much more important, and that's where we're collecting donations and volunteers, and I would love to come in contact with that librarian from your support group who lost her husband.
Yeah, we'll chat. Thank you so much for being with me today, Dennis. I really appreciate you. You know, you originally contacted me through the last caregiver conference, so I'm just happy that we found each other, and I will do anything I can to support you.
Well, thank you for the invite, and I look forward to having further discussions.
Have a delicious day. And now it's time to hear from our wonderful partners, because you know the deal. If you don't hear from them, you don't hear from me. So don't go away. We'll be right back on Connecting Caregivers Radio.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Sean W. Scott has been practicing elder law and qualifying clients for Medicaid for over 30 years. While his practice is in all areas of estate planning, such as durable power of attorney, healthcare surrogates, and wills, he also prides himself on having a 100% accuracy rate on getting clients approved for Medicaid. Why Medicaid, you may ask? Do you want to pay up to $16,000 a month for a nursing home should the time come? Obviously, no one wants to have to endure this cost. So, even though you may have planned well for retirement, the reality is, things happen. Planning ahead is never too soon. You need to make sure your income and assets are protected so that you can take care of you and your loved ones. Florida law is very specific on how and what is protected and how to protect it. Give Sean a call. He can help. 727-539-0181. That's 727-539-0181.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
And we're back. That was a very interesting conversation. Like I said, I will do anything to promote that. I think it's so very important. So we're also supposed to have Mirador Magazine on the show today, but they haven't called in yet, so I don't know. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about Mirador Magazine. Mirador is an ad-free, age-appropriate online and print publication for neurodivergent communities. So people with Alzheimer's, people with neurological diseases. It says, our growing readership includes those with various stages of dementia and people of all ages recovering from brain trauma, such as concussion, TBI, or stroke. We also have readers who experience chronic symptoms from autoimmune disease and people with autism and ADHD. Our pages include short features on nature, science, history, and the people who make our world wonderful. Mirador Magazine is about making connections with oneself, with building others and the community. Each page and online offering can be enjoyed alone or with family members and friends. So I haven't seen the magazine yet. I've seen it online. But many people, my friends that have seen the magazine, said it's like highlights for adults. So remember the highlights magazines? For kids, it's like, yeah, it might not have been in Canada.
Well, maybe not.
But it'd be different magazines where you had to, like, pick out the missing objects and, and kind of things. But so it's similar to that, what I've been told, but it's more age-appropriate, it's bigger print.
Find the differences, like?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. So I don't know why they haven't called in. Maybe they'll call in a little while. But you can go to their website, which is, let's see here. And hopefully they'll be on another day. Sometimes people get mixed up with the time zones. So it's www.mirador.com. And, I hear a phone ringing. Either I won the lottery or we have a guest calling in.
Hello.
Yep. So, I think we have a guest calling in. Do we have somebody on the line, Ed?
Hello.
Hi, Tave. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Joyful and grateful. So, did you hear what I just said?
Yeah, well, I did, and thank you so much. The number we were all given was the one I called you on earlier, which I believe is your personal number.
Yeah, but it's funny because when I have all your confirmations here, and it has both numbers on, but it doesn't matter. You're here.
Oh. I don't know. We've all been, all of us, and I'm sending this new phone number now to Lorette, so she should jump on now, too.
Okay, great.
We'll just blame it on Lynn.
I'm so delighted to be here with you. Hooray.
Yes, I'm glad that you're here today, too. It's really great. And we just had a great conversation with Nana's Books. So that was wonderful. I really like Dennis. He's a fine man.
Oh, good. With Dennis? Good, yeah. good.
Yeah, I mean, you know what I love about it? Everybody gets involved in these new things because of a loved one, because of their own loved one.
Exactly.
And that says so much.
And it touches all of us. I mean, this is the thing. If it's not somebody literally in your home at the moment, it's your next door neighbor, it's your grandma, it's somebody in your circle someone you work with. And it's just something that we all need to treat this as something that is normal and part of our everyday lives.
Because
and
it is.
It is, exactly.
Yeah. You
know, it takes all of us to enjoy life in all of the different forms of it and the different stages we go through.
Yeah. So, Tavi, tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved in this. And hi, Lorette. We'll get to you in a minute.
Okay. Did Lorette make it on?
Yep, she's on now. We just missing Nikki.
All right. Well, so here, well, first I'll start out. Hi, Nikki, and hi, Rebecca. I'm sending a hello out to them because Nikki's aunt Rebecca was the catalyst for why we started Mirador, and it was in 2017. And Nikki and I also play in a few bands together, one of which is called Girl Haggard Band. It smells like Merle, but with a G. And we are an all-women, we say we're all-girl, all-Merle. So all-women Merle Haggard tribute. And Nikki is the drummer and founder of the band, and I'm the lead singer.
Cool.
And we were going up to Washington. We were doing a little tour up there. And Rebecca, Nikki's aunt, who was a scientist, she did a ton of work with penguins. She also had been in the publishing community. And she was diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. And, you know, it was a bit of a shock because at the time, you know, we all hear the word Alzheimer's, but what does it really mean?
Right.
You know, and that falls under a larger umbrella of dementia.
Right.
And that there are so many different stages and versions of it.
Yeah.
So Nikki set out to find a magazine for Rebecca because Rebecca is this amazing woman. She loves to read and do puzzles and do things on her own, as well as have something to enjoy with friends.
Uh-huh.
Well, there was nothing out there. There was nothing out there. So Nikki says to me, "Tavi, I have this idea for a magazine. You do all the posters for the band and stuff. Will you?" And they look pretty good.
If I do say so myself.
she said, and they look pretty good. "No, will you art direct for me?" And I said, "Gosh, I would love to. Huge honor." And in addition, I have some other ideas. So, you know, we kept talking about this and wanting to expand it and using comics with ourselves because we don't really draw, but using photo comics and putting in recipes and having online content that can be downloadable and bonuses.
Yeah.
And also offering Spanish online was something we wanted to be sure and do because Nikki's heritage is from Spain and different...
Yes, that's so important. Somebody just called me the other day and she's like, "I need a support group that's in Spanish."
And, exactly.
And luckily I have some of those resources and we're able to do that because that can be tough.
Yes, thank you, Linda, for doing that. So that's how we got started. And so we started doing the research and we were looking into different studies that had been done and research on the brain and how it works and different stages of the brain and really finding out that neurodivergent brains function obviously differently because they're divergent than your average brain, and that our magazine, we have used this research to be able to format it in such a way, use the correct colors, styling, fonts, which fonts, how big the writing can be, et cetera, and content that is engaging and is accessible for everybody, but specifically for our niche audience, which is those who are neurodivergent. So people like Rebecca who have Alzheimer's or other forms of dementia, people who have had concussions or other forms of brain injury or traumatic brain injury, as well as those of us who have ADHD and other sorts of spectrum spectrum thing. So that's the long and the short. But hi, Rebecca. Nikki is with Rebecca right now. And Rebecca, we think, is in her latter stages of going off to a bigger and brighter Mirador out there in the bigger universe. And so she can't be with us in person today. But
so Nikki, Nikki is helping her birth into a new life.
Exactly. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. God bless.
We all are going through these different phases, but it's really important that we keep those people with us while we can.
Yes,
and usher them joyously onto all of the next stages.
Well, you know, I always say to my caregivers, your caregiving experience can be the most horrific experience of your life, or close to beautiful, depending on how you handle it.
Exactly.
And it's all up to you. And, you know, caregivers are always stressed and everything else. And I just keep reminding them, do you want the last years of your mom's or your grandma's life, whether it's years or months or days, to see you freaking out and exhausted and stressed? And they would just want to sit with you.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And laugh. Sometimes.
Oh, I'm good at that. I'm good at that one. My mother said she would never move to Florida. And after she moved to Florida, she was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. But I said to her one day, Mom, you hate the heat. Why did you move to Florida? And she said to me, out of all the kids, you make me laugh the most. And I was like, okay, let me stand on my head. What else can I do? You know?
What a wonderful thing to say to somebody, and for, you know, for you to get to file that away.
Yeah, it was cool.
Oh, I love it.
Blessed. Oh, I am very blessed. So, Lorette, you with us?
I'm here.
I'm glad you're here. I'm sorry for the confusion.
No worries.
Did you hear Dennis earlier, or did you not hear him?
I didn't, because we were in the waiting room of Zoom and then trying to get through on the landline.
Goodness.
Here we are now.
You're here.
I'm sorry I missed Dennis.
That's okay. So, Lorette, tell us how you're involved with Nana's Books.
Okay. So, as you know, there's Nana's Books Foundation, which Dennis, the nonprofit that Dennis is at the helm of. And then my company, Nana's Books, which is a series of books that is, as Tave said, adaptive and designed for people that are living with brain change. And my books are really, you were saying, about sitting with someone. A number of my books, the poetry books, are called Sit With Me at Sundown.
Oh.
And they have to, yeah, so they have to do with really just being present with someone who is really inhabiting their past. That's where they find their strength, is
right.
They're not really in their, their working memory or so much the present moment. And this is a place where they can find their strength and their really beautiful, reminiscent and, just redolent and beautiful things that speak to them. And so all my themes have to do with faith and patriotism and nature and beauty. And I really was inspired, like Rebecca and Nikki. I give a big shout out to Nikki, who is accompanying Rebecca right now. We're missing you guys.
Yeah.
Mine came from a place of, my mother-in-law was diagnosed with Lewy body dementia and was really struggling with, you name it, a lot of frustration, just being dispirited and being a long-term reader, bridge player. She was very much in her mind, and she really wanted to connect with people.
Yeah.
She has 6 children, 14 grandchildren.
Yeah, she's
and
a social,
I think,
woman.
Yes, very social, exactly. And she lived in long-term care, and, you know, she missed her daily, she lived in a coastal town in Boston, and she missed her daily walks and so forth with her friends, and she really was lonely. And my kids, my twins at the time, who were now 19, they were about 11, and they'd go visit her, and she would really be very, just not herself. She'd be very agitated and angry, and it was very, very hard for her especially. And I just thought, as a former teacher and grant writer, I was always resourcing people with, like, the book that was the best fit for them.
Right.
And could welcome them and give them an invitation into the process. And that was my whole background. And I thought, wait a second, why can't I do this for her?
Right.
Like Tave said, where are the materials and where are the resources for her? And there really weren't any. So I thought, you know what? I'm just going to try my hand at making some books for her and see if I can't bring in some beautiful poetry, large format, here with some beautiful art. And, 30-plus books later, here we are. And, you know,
so exciting.
It's a little jewel box, and it's a little tribute to people, you know, like Rebecca, who had just beautiful and full lives, you know, and really just want to be in company with, you know, community. And,
yeah.
And, you know, we do so many things to usher people into the process. And, you know, we talk about the oral tradition and storytelling and, you know, all that. And I think that to usher people out and to do that reading aloud, like we do with the lullabies and the bedtime stories and just all the different things to usher people in.
Yeah.
This is just such a privilege to be doing this work and seeing people out in a communal way and giving them the script for that. People that are in hospice and palliative care and things like that, they're sitting there and it's like they're coming to visit their loved one or they're living with their loved one, and it's like you do run out of things to talk about. It does become kind of a pressure cooker.
You feel,
you know, unsettled and things like that. And if there's just something that's vetted and it's melodic and it's, you know, just beautiful visually and the images mesh just perfectly with the...
Yeah, I love that.
The images, it just makes it so easy for you, and it's meant to take the caregiver on that beautiful ride as well.
Together. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So that's Banana's book story in a nutshell.
That's so exciting. I just love to hear these kind of things going on because it's so important, and it's so important to just spend some time with our loved ones, no matter what stage they're in.
Exactly. Right, and here's the other thing that's so amazing is, you know, once we start talking about all of the different, you know, communities that we have in our, you know, larger world and really thinking about it, all of us are in this together. You know, we're all here, we're living together, but we're also need some time alone periodically. And what I love about Nana's book also is they're so carefully put together. The words she's chosen, so whether they're poetry or whether it's, you know, larger passages, and the images that Lorette has carefully chosen in Nana's books, they're also really nice for somebody to just use and enjoy on their own. As opposed to just television, you have another option, and it's something that people can take in. They can self-soothe. They can, you know, sort of have a reverie about something. But it's something to hold and enjoy and to still give you autonomy.
Yeah, and you know,
that's important.
So much stuff online. Like, I want to hold that book.
Yeah,
I want to hold that book. I want to smell that book. I want to feel that book. There's just something about it.
Yeah,
exactly.
And, well, look, we all love online. That's a great thing. But in addition to that, or instead of that, for people who are not either able to or interested in, or where it's not germane, you know, to their abilities, to have a book in your hand, it's concrete, right? And it means you're there. It means you care. And it's also a tool for the caregiver, the care partner.
Right.
Because they might have either a way of actually having some fun, some games, or some conversation with their
person. Yeah, like you say, sometimes they just run out of conversation.
Or they have nothing to say, and they can now go take a shower, wash the dishes, whatever, and their loved one has something that they can enjoy on their own.
Yeah.
Maybe even the loved one says, look, I need you to stop talking at me right now.
Well, you know what? I say to my caregivers all the time, you may think that you're the bomb caregiver and only you can do it and it's only your responsibility. I said, I think your loved one is saying under their breath, could you go away for a little while?
Just like, I just need a break. Give me Mirador magazine. I need a break. Give me Nana's books. Yeah. I want some pause.
Yeah. And it's so nice to have some new options. You know, because these are specifically for things that we need, and for things, because if somebody else that doesn't know about these books, they won't even know what kind of book to get. You know, I didn't realize until after my mother died that she couldn't read anymore. Because she wouldn't read anything, and she was an avid reader. I just wasn't educated enough, because my mom had some dementia, too, and I didn't even know she had dementia. I thought she's being my goofy mom. But, you know, every restaurant, she'd hand me the menu. You're my concierge. You're my personal assistant. What? And I didn't realize until after she passed away, she wasn't reading because she couldn't read anymore.
Isn't that interesting that your mother, she was trying to save her, you gave her dignity. She was trying to save her, you know, little, you know, people have left of their self. You know, they have so much of their core self, but what little their agency they have left and things like that, they don't want to say, gee, this is too much tech for me. I can't do this. It's too confusing. Or, you know, and caregivers, you know, they now, you know, people are, you know, there's more information out there and people know now, give mom two options. Do you want the haddock or would you like, you know, the stuffed baked potato or something like that? And it's the same with, you know, these resources. It's like, they're adapted in such a way that the person who was formerly a pastor and engaged with their Bible on a daily basis, that's a giant book with tiny, tiny text and multiple parts. So it's like, if you can hand them Anana's books, or you can hand them, you know, an issue of Mirador, right, and they can partake in that. You know, they say that the International Federation of Library Associations says that, you know, you should have 6 books per person in long-term care. That's the minimum.
Wow.
So if you think about that in long-term care, I've never seen that. And then in addition to which, what's there, you know, old magazines and children's board books, repurposed, you know, right, board books and things like that, that's
not appropriate. It's not appropriate.
It's not appropriate. It's not appropriate. And it's also, you know, it's not adaptive. So that doesn't really count toward the 6 books. But people that are aging in place, they say, oh, well, mom's at home and she's got all of her books. Well, guess what? She can't engage with them anymore because there's too much on the page.
Yep.
The words may be moving around a bit, yep, for her. It's overwhelming, and there's too large, you know, the blocks of text are too
much.
Yeah,
so if it's too difficult, she's not going to do it.
Exactly. So what they say is now that people that don't have dementia are 40% of people that can read are illiterate adults. And you say, what does that mean? That means that 40% of people that don't have dementia that can read choose not to read because they disconnect. It's not a fit, and the books that they, you know, that are available to them are too challenging. Did you know that the national average reading level is about a 10th grade reading level? That's on average.
Wow.
Yeah. So people with dementia, let's say they had a 10th grade reading level to begin with.
Yeah.
Their, you know, their aptitude and things like that, when their cognition, you know, takes a hit, will be less than that. So the conundrum is, how do you get just, you know, very dignified, very beautiful material to them that isn't infantilizing and isn't demeaning, and that really gives them content and is smart content, and it's got beautiful imagery, and it appeals to them, and it's developmentally appropriate. We talk about developmentally appropriate, you know, behaviors and methodology and materials. But it's really another thing to create them and provide them. And people are longing for those because they want to be part of this process. It's like the car keys. It's books and magazines are yet another thing that have been taken away.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So we're trying to give that back.
I miss magazines. I miss that McCall's magazines with that cutout girl in there.
No, you miss Spiegel.
Spiegel catalog?
Yeah.
You're funny.
Yeah.
That was a beautiful catalog, I will say.
Yeah, and it's just nice to have on the coffee table. And, you know, you and Tabe were talking before about, you know, physically interacting with a book or a magazine. You know, we discount the self-soothing capacity that books and magazines have, because the kinesthetics of it, you're turning the pages, you're holding, you know, Mirador in particular has this beautiful, beautiful stock paper that, you know, they use for their magazines.
Yeah.
And it's just got such a nice hand to it. And again, that whole behavior, you know from the time you're little that you read top to bottom and left to right, you know the progression of turning the pages. And that really never leaves you.
Right.
So to interact with an actual book, although the digital, you know, we've both got, you know, the books in digital formats. There are people that were raised, like my parents are in their 80s, they don't use their microwave because it just wasn't part of what they did when they were growing up.
Exactly.
So people that can, let's say, use the tablet, but it really wasn't the modality that they preferred or that they are accustomed to, people revert to what's familiar. And at this time in life, you know, what's more familiar than, you know, books and magazines at the bedside, on the coffee table?
Well, I'll tell you, recently, a friend of mine, Mama Rose, she passed away at 99 years old. And we were very good friends, and it was probably maybe, I don't know, 6 or 7 months before she passed away. She was in a memory community. And I brought with me a coffee table book of the covers of Life magazine.
Oh, great.
Well, the conversations we had that day were absolutely delightful. It's got those big, beautiful pictures. You remember those Life magazine beautiful pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And all the different stories. And like you said, not only did she enjoy it, I enjoyed it.
Right. And the time goes by so quickly because she's got those visual cues to help her into a conversation. And then she's also got the auditory cues because you're talking with her.
Yeah.
And it's just they start to really lock into something. They could almost get off on a tangent of their own. And then you don't even need the book or the magazine anymore because it served its purpose. It ramped you into or scaffolded you onto a nice conversation. So it's an invitation, really. These books and magazines are just that. They're an invitation into a connected conversation. And it's not just about what'd you have for lunch, what'd you have for dinner. It's not an interrogation. It's a conversation.
Well, it's like, you know, I always tell people, it's like, okay, so my grandchildren are coming to visit. They don't know what to say to my mom anymore. They don't know. So they don't talk to her. So right. I always say to them, create a memory box. If your mom was in the Girl Scouts, go online and print out some pictures of Girl Scouts. And if you're really smart, put her troop number on the back. And if your mom lived in Brooklyn, pitch up and just leave them on the table. And then the kids could pick one up and say, I didn't know you were a Girl Scout leader.
Right, right. And that's the key, Linda, is getting people, in the different generations to have those intergenerational conversations and relationships and to pass that baton and let them know about, you know, your old neighborhood in the Bronx or recipes or family traditions or holidays or, you know, the Italian wedding soup or all the different things that make you you, but you just, you know, when you have aphasia and you're having word finding problems, you know, it's like you need that reminder. But once you're reminded, you know, you're good to go. And,
exactly.
And we need that tool. There's a woman whose mom I know passed with FTD, and she said it was so relaxing and easy to have one of the Nana's books to take in on a visit because she didn't have that pressure. Her mother was an artist that she had to come up with like a conversation.
Yeah.
And her mom would know it would be very difficult to engage her. She just said it made it so easy because it was almost like a crutch. We could lean on the different pages and the different passages and the different images.
Well, it's time
and
for us to wrap up, ladies. We're running out of airtime. Can you please, thanks so much for being here. Can you please, each of you, tell everybody where they can find the books and the magazine?
Well, I'll start. You can find Mirador Magazine at miradormagazine.com. So Mirador is Miradore magazine.com. And you can find it there and you can subscribe. Please tell your friends. We're also happy to send bulk subscriptions to care facilities, community centers, schools, libraries, etc. And we have recipes in there too.
Perfect.
Puzzles. Bits of fun news and always stuff on birds and animals. A lot of fun. We'd love to hear from you. You can also write us at miradormag@gmail.com. Linda, thanks for having us on. It's been an absolute delight.
Thanks so much. Hello?
Nana's book, you can go to Amazon and look for Nana's book series. You can find that on Amazon. You can look under my name on Amazon, Laurette.
Okay.
Laurette, last name Kleier. You can go on my website, nanasbookseries.com. You can reach me at nanasbookseries@gmail.com. And like Mirador Magazine, you can make, you know, you can do an enterprise plan. You can get bulk orders any way you want to do it. So,
all right, the information that you just gave me and you'll just send to me, I will put in the description of the show. So anybody that sees the show at another time will have all those links and everything.
Linda, thanks for the work you do. And I loved your ideas and just everything you're doing to be positive and keep us all engaged and entertained as well as informed.
Thank you, ladies. Have a delicious day. Well, that was absolutely. I'm so glad they did call in because I didn't want to miss that.
Yeah.
I can't wait. They're sending me copies of the book, so I'm excited about that. So it's been a fabulous show today. What? Break? Oh, yeah. Go take a break.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Choosing the right chiropractor is an important choice to make. Located in Seminole, the Alexander Spine Center team is trained on the latest chiropractic treatments and technologies. At Alexander Spine Center, you'll find chiropractic and physical therapy care that is safe, effective, and a natural approach to pain and other health-related issues. Chiropractic unlocks your body's potential and natural healing process to ensure your life is a healthy life. We treat clients from the womb to the tomb. Call 727-397-3000 for a free consultation today or visit our website at www.alexanderspinecenter.com.
They take good care of me twice a week, so check them out.
Arden Courts is not just a place to live. It's a place to call home. Residential living combined with quality caregiving. This is the philosophy behind Arden Courts. Communities created exclusively for individuals with Alzheimer's disease and related dementia who would benefit from a safe and structured environment. For additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides, call 888-478-2410 to locate a community nearest you. Inquire about our educational seminars, resource library, or support groups, or simply feel free to ask questions you may have about Alzheimer's and related dementias. At Arden Courts, we know, we understand, and we can help because memory care is all we do. Remember, call 888-478-2410 for additional information about any of the unique services Arden Courts provides.
Guaranteed to make you laugh through your tears, Linda Burhan's book, Good Night and God Bless, is filled with humor and heartfelt inspiration to aid anyone facing the challenge of caring for a loved one at the end of life. Her story offers hope for human strength and understanding of weaknesses during a difficult time. Life doesn't normally prepare us to become a loved one's caregiver. When it happens, it's usually sudden. A diagnosis of an illness, age-related frailty, dementia, and life suddenly is anything but normal. And because we don't even know what we don't know, where do we turn to for help or guidance? In Connecting Caregivers, answers to the questions you didn't know you needed to ask, Linda offers information, education, and inspiration from her own experience and from experts whose advice, practical tools, and personal stories will empower and guide you. Make sure to add these inspiring books to your collection today, available on Amazon.com.
Introducing the life-changing Footbar Walker.
I'm Peggy from Danville, Kentucky, and I'm 91 years old. The Footbar Walker revolutionized my care of George. It absolutely benefits the patient and the caregiver both, and that's the beauty of it. It's so easy to use. It folds up just like a dream. I got it in and out of the car without any effort at all. The saving that I made from having to put him in a nursing home came to about $192,000.
Does someone you love use a walker? Do they struggle to get up from a seated position? Are you a caregiver dealing with physical pain and stress as you help your patient? The Footbar Walker was designed to assist not only the patient, but also the caregiver. Patients have more control standing up, and no lifting from the caregiver is required. See how it works at thefootbarwalker.com. That's thefootbarwalker.com. Peggy, would you recommend the Footbar Walker?
Do I ever? I would not be in the health that I'm in today at this age had it not been for the Footbar Walker.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Well, it was a great show today. I'm so glad to everybody who tuned in. Please tune in again next week. We'll have some great guests. Remember, God loves you all the time, and have a delicious day.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com. I'm Christopher Cruz in the Washington Bureau. A possible break today in the case of the killings of 11 women in 2010 and 2011 on Long Island, New York. WCBS-TV's Carolyn Gussoff says a 59-year-old man has been arrested in what's long been called the Gilgo Beach murders.
A grand jury at this hour, officials tell us, is hearing evidence, and an indictment is expected to be unsealed in court this afternoon. We will then know what the charges are and what led this massive 12-year manhunt to lead here to First Avenue in Massapequa Park.
CBS's 48 Hours correspondent Erin Moriarty has been covering this case for years.
This has been so difficult for all these families. This has been going on and on and on.